Atlanta United, the number 9 seed, right? And Montreal, the 8 seed. It went down to a penalty kick shootout, or you call them PKs, a shootout, whatever you want to go with. This is the MLS Cup playoffs Eastern Conference wild card game. And of course, there was like a 10% chance that Atlanta United would even get into the playoffs. And they were able to do that with the win over Orlando City. And so now the magic just keeps on going. The match was tied at 2-2 to end regulation. There was no extra time. And the winner, of course, decided in PKs. Atlanta made all 5 of their PKs. And Brad Guzan, friend of the show now, we can call him, saved 1 to seal the win for the 5 stripes. So this is...
The format definitely helped Atlanta United out because both teams played Saturday. One team traveled twice, one team did not. Montreal played a home game on Saturday and then got to stay home. Atlanta United played on the road at Orlando City, had to come home, then go to Montreal. So that worked out because there was no extra time, right? Because there were PKs. I thought Atlanta United had a golden opportunity to honestly finish this game in regular time. They could have been up 3-0. Brooks Lennon misses a tough one touch tip in the box, but still a very makeable
you
shot.
You said regulation, but don't you like the drama?
Action at the goal to our right. Saba directly behind the ball. He gets the whistle. Saba up to it. Strikes it. Score! Atlanta United is going to Miami! Atlanta United wins their first playoff shootout in franchise history. Lionel Messi, we'll see you Friday night.
That was Mike Conti on the call. Of course, he's always with Jason Longshore for Atlanta United matches.
Yeah, the penalty you're talking about that Joseph was able to put home right there at the end of the match that pulled it even at 2. Tiff, I don't know if you saw the actual penalty. I would love to get your take on it because it seemed a little bit ticky-tack to me, and then, like, I'm listening to the commentators on the actual TV broadcast. I'm like, that's definitely a penalty. I'm like, what? Like, I'm looking at it going, dude, I must not know enough, man. Like, maybe I'm just too detached from soccer. I don't know, but just looks so freaking ridiculous.
No, I think you do a good job with your soccer. I didn't say you were detached. I kind of had the same kind of feelings. Like, I kind of want to use that. It's the playoffs.
It was soft.
Gotta let him play.
It was soft. It was at the right, just barely. I mean, just a centimeter. It looked like, I mean, I know it was a little bit more, but inside the box, Steph. And the only thing I can think of is his knee made real contact with the back of the offensive player, Brooks Lennon's knee. Because I didn't think it was. I personally would have been livid if it was called on me. And you were a defender in college. I wasn't. I played the two years I played in high school. I was way more physical than that because that was, you know, it's high school and I wasn't very good. So I just ran through people. But I mean, that was ridiculous. I thought
no, and especially like crucial moments. I don't know. I'm not making that call. And as a defender, yeah, you're pretty spot on with that. I would be pretty. I don't know what word you used, but.
Ridiculous.
Okay. I would be pretty upset too.
Yeah.
You know who else was upset during this match? You guys were having some fun in the group chat. There was some chatter going on. First of all, I want to put a disclaimer out. I'm not like I was told to set this up, but I am not.
All Tiff's idea.
I am not. It's not my idea. It's not my idea at all. So I'll let you, the people, take a listen to what occurred with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore and maybe some fans. And
and Montreal's season is done.
You can taunt me all you want. The game is over. I'm getting paid money to call the game. So sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
I did not authorize the use of that sound.
So. Sorry you lost, but so, have a good drive home.
This reminds me of 2010.
Not me.
This reminds me of 2010 when the Falcons played the Saints in New Orleans. Mike, I think you might have been there. I know you were on the team then. I'm not sure what your status was, if you were injured or not when this happened. But we beat them in overtime, if I'm not mistaken. And they had Sean Payton had called a timeout and basically iced his own kicker in the game. And that was when you had to go through the crowd at the Superdome to get to the locker room because of the stadium being redone after Katrina. And fans are yelling at Arch, and Arch goes, tell your coach to call another timeout. And it just reminds me that a lot of times when you're in these venues doing these games for radio, Tiff, you're going to get put in the crowd.
Situation. Yeah, yeah.
And you get heckled by the crowd. I mean, you're like, if you want that smoke, Mike Conte will definitely give it to you.
Sorry you lost, but have a good drive home.
The funniest part is that you know how professional that Mike Conte is, and he was trying to hold his tongue so bad. They wanted to be like, enjoy. We're going to enjoy Miami. Let's go.
Enjoy your drive home. I'm going to use that today after I beat Tiff in Which One Wednesday. I'm sorry you lost.
I'm going to go ahead and wave. Sorry you lost,
but have a good drive home.
Have a good drive home.
Falcons and Buccaneers are on deck for this weekend. There was a whole host of injuries that came out of the Monday Night Football game for the Bucs. And two significant ones, their receivers, Chris Godwin, who is now out for the season with a dislocated ankle, and Mike Evans, who was trying to fight through a hamstring injury, ended up, making it worse, guys. So he's out until after the Bucs' Week 11 bye.
Yeah, that's the big one right there. I know Chris Godwin's had success against the Falcons, and if you're going to lose Mike Evans, you need him. But Mike Evans has had a career against the Falcons alone. I mean, there are guys that will never equal the stats in an entire career that Mike Evans has had alone in his 19 games against the Falcons. Guy's got 97 catches for 1,469 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He has feasted against the Falcons. And what's odd to me is you go look at his numbers against the Saints, one of the other division opponents he's played a lot, he's got like four touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job of keeping him right around like three catches a game. And I have to give Marshawn Lattimore a lot of that credit because he's done a very good job against him. But Mike Evans is the one. But, you know, we can talk about these injuries and how it affects the Buccaneers' chances in the division, but I think we could see them become a different offense. And I think they have kind of figured out that they can run the football, and they've got a three-headed monster, and you can add a fourth head if you want to think that maybe Baker is going to get some scrambles. The last time these teams played, they ran at a 6.2-yard clip.
It's pretty good.
26 carries, 160 yards, led by Rashad White, who had 10 for 72. And he also has a 100-yard game against the Falcons when he played them back in December of last year.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody out there on their waiver wire that's trying to pick up Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan, because they're going to see the bulk of the targets for the next few weeks at least.
Don't forget Cade Otton.
Well, Cade Otton as well, but just the wide receiver. Cade Otton's been getting them targets, so... And he's kind of exploded on the scene. It's been nice to see. But Sterling Shepard, obviously a guy as well. And when you look on down the list, it's weird because, you know, I went through and I think we all kind of felt like this. You go through a number of years where you're like, man, I don't even know if they can afford to keep Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's on the roster at the same time. We talked about it last offseason when Mike Evans was kind of dipping his toe in the water of free agency and kind of feeling around on that. And you're like, at the same time, you're like, yeah, that would be a big loss for Tampa, but they still got Chris Godwin. For both those guys to sort of exit the picture last week, and Chris Godwin, you know, obviously going to be out for a while, that's a huge thing for that team. And I know that they've got to be reeling from that just from a leadership standpoint, if nothing else, after this past weekend.
And just to point out, too, Evans has restructured his contract on a couple different occasions over the years to help free up some cap space there. So that's probably one of the reasons why they've been able to keep some key guys on their roster.
Yeah, I don't find that shocking at all. He seems to be from... Everybody you talk to and everybody that understands him, just a good dude, good teammate. So it's cool.
One of the best. That's why he always wins like their media award pretty much every year.
Yeah, he's the kind of the epitome of a professional in this league. He is exactly what you want a guy to be. You know, we had Julio for years here, and everybody talked about how Julio, for the most part, handled his business. He was, you know, I know that he had a little bit at the end here with the contract situation, and he kind of, I think it stained his reputation a little bit with some of the fan base. But, I mean, I was around him every week on the road or at home. And whenever we needed Julio to talk, he talked. He was friendly. He wasn't a jerk about it. He did take care of his guys, though. I heard him be a leader with other players that kind of having some rough moments with the media. And he took up for them. He had their back. That's what Mike Evans' time there is reminding me of, is how dominant he's been on the field more than anything, though. It's just phenomenal. And look, Baker Mayfield, we've done a really good job at holding guys under 300-yard passing days. But if you go look at his game, like the last time these two teams played on Thursday night, 19 of 24, 180 yards, had another 42 on the ground, Baker, and three touchdowns. Baker, we didn't necessarily slow Baker down. We limited, but they were very balanced in their attack, and they still put up 30.
Yeah, and I'm with you, too. We've talked a number of times about Baker not only doing it with his arms, but he's just so sneaky, the way he can attack you with his legs, too. And I think that's something we're going to all kind of bear in mind as we head towards this weekend.
Not to get too far ahead, but after this game, you get the Cowboys and then you get the Saints. And you have to wonder who's going to be back for New Orleans, because they are dealing with a number of key injuries for them. So Derek Carr with the oblique injury, he's questionable for their game Sunday against the Chargers. And then Taysom Hill, questionable. Chris Olave, questionable. Cesar Ruiz, questionable. And then linebacker Pete Warner, also all these guys questionable for their game on Sunday.
Yeah, they have been decimated with injuries. And I think I even heard, Mike, it might have been you, Tiff, it might have been you. I don't know. I can't remember who asked it, but someone said, you know, could this save Dennis Allen's job, all the injuries? And I don't know. I don't know, because I think how you lose games matters. And I saw Sean Payton win games and lose close games with a lot of injuries. And if Dennis Allen, you know, the blowout kind of game that was against Tampa at home, not necessarily something that you can continue to let happen and keep your job. Just let them lose as many games as they can. I'm also interested in see what they do with their team, because they're in a weird point, because I think they're $81 million over the cap when the season ends. And it's that way every year, though.
Yeah, they kick the can down the road a little bit but, down there.
But that's the question. How much longer are you willing to kick the can down the road? Because after two games, not a fair evaluation because of the injuries, but is Spencer Rattler, do you see him as a quarterback of the future? And I think if you don't, it might be time to hit the reset button now.
Here's the question I'm going to have, because I think that they're actually keeping a close eye on what's going on with us this weekend down in Tampa. Like, a lot of people have started talking about, is Alvin Kamara on the trade block? And I think right now, like, he's kind of their team. He has not been able to do, you know, what he did the first couple of weeks in terms of his output. But I think the further, you know, that we can pull out in front of this division, and the more they look at the terms of their injury, the more they might look at an Alvin Kamara and be like, man, we got to figure out how to, you know, a way to find some money somewhere. Is this season kind of in a lost mode? Now, obviously, I don't know that much of that gets situated this weekend, because either team that wins is going to kind of be in the same spot in front of the division. But nonetheless, I think that New Orleans is probably keeping a close eye on other teams in the division for the next couple of weeks to see if they can afford to spend time getting all their guys healthy, you know, instead of dealing them.
The Big Ten and the SEC could be joining forces when it comes to scheduling. So talks remain ongoing over an agreement between the Big Ten and the SEC over their scheduling. So over the weekend, CBS Sports spoke with both SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Texas President Jay Hartzell about the possibility of the two superpower conferences coming together for future regular season games. Now, it was also confirmed last week that the Big Ten and SEC were in preliminary talks to play non-conference games against each other as a way to enhance the strength of schedule.
Yeah, I think the who was it we talked to last week, Bo? It was an eye-opener.
Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, Dennis Dodd. I think it was an eye-opener for a lot of the both these leagues. Alabama against Wisconsin and a number of the matchups you've seen here recently between these two leagues that can fire up not only, you know, people in those fan bases, but broadcast deals, things like that. The revenue is there. You have to start to really dive deep in the weeds in terms of, you know, nine league games and things like that, but it seems like a no-brainer for everybody. The schedule's already gotten crazy. Let's make it a little bit crazier.
Well, I think the more that this 12-team playoff continues, the more they need these games, the more they need each other. Because these conferences are so – they're so brutal already, the strength of schedule could be the only thing that saves you. Me and Mike Conte, we're just joking around. We're just joking around Sunday before the Falcons game. And he said, what would happen if – and again, we're joking because I don't think this is going to happen. But
joshing around.
But he said, what would happen if Florida won out? And I said, they would make the college football playoff. And he was like, do you really think that? And I said, yes. I said, because if you won out, even with losses against a top 10, now a top 10 Miami team, and what could be a top 10 Texas A&M team soon enough, if you beat four straight teams that today sit at 6-1, because of your strength of schedule alone, the three losses does not matter. You would be in the college football playoff. Do you disagree? Does anybody disagree with that? Three losses don't matter. It's the fact that they're
all... You're saying your strength of schedule is going to supersede that.
Because when you go through it... when you go through it, think about it. Who they play? Because they started the season at home against Miami, which was a loss. And then you would play... And I'm only making this argument because the point is that's what this is going to... You know, all these people that want this NFL-type model, that's what we're going to. Because when you say you played Miami, you played A&M, mistake. You played UCF, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Mississippi, and Florida State. Other than Samford, Miss State, UCF, and Florida State, they're all going to be ranked opponents. And all of them are being in the top 20.
I mean, yeah. I think there's a valid point to be had there. To me, though, like, let's put these teams up to bet. Let's make these I see what you're saying, and you're like, oh, it's going to be chaotic, and there's going to be teams that lose a number of games. I'd rather see a team in with three losses to tough opponents than to somebody backdooring this thing that hadn't played anybody
all
year.
Well, and that's the point. Yeah. That's the whole point of getting in bed with each other, the Big Ten and the SEC. I also think they believe it's a means to an end, where they can keep – and one of the other things we talked to Dennis Dodd about is, what is a way to keep private equity out of your conferences?
Come together, yeah.
Come together. You continue to make big money games, which equal big money, and all that does is strengthen – look.
You think someone's not going to want to see, like, an Ohio State – I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there – like Alabama matchup or something. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
they won't. Yeah, they won't.
That's what I'm being –
And so Tiffany – you know, you work in the TV world. All that does is strengthen your TV deals because there's no throwaway games. It's must-see TV. It is above your pay grade, but you know it's good for business.
You know, we'll see what happens in the future. But, yeah, you're not wrong about that. It's definitely good for business.
And look, man, like I said, I agree with you. I think that when you look at it on the surface, you're like, okay, this is going to be – like. I mean, here's a prime example, dude. If Vanderbilt wins out, they're in the playoff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, their schedule the next 5 weeks is insane. Their schedule the next 5 weeks is insane. So, I mean, there's a number of things that could happen like that, and I'm here for it. There's so many different ways to dissect this too. And we asked Dennis Dodd, and I brought this up. I was like, whatever it takes to make regulation again for college football, and if it takes both these conferences coming together and more regulations that lead to NIL structure, then I'm all for that as well.
Yeah, and I only mentioned Florida not because that's where I grew up being a fan of.
No, but it's a good example of
the schedule
and the schedule. So. We're not hating on you because of your Gators.
All right. Also, Kennesaw State. Yeah, don't forget that. New Realm, Allen.
Let's get you some.